and since Thanksgiving is right around the corner, this is definitely a time for us to really be thankful for the things that God has given us. So as we pray, I just kind of want you to think about the different things that God has given you, our families, our health. Even, like I said, this week I've been under the weather, but I'm still thankful that I have health, that I can breathe, that I don't have something worse than what I had. And there's always something to be thankful for because God is a good and giving God. Amen. Father God, we just thank you so much for everything that you give to us. God, we so often pray for better jobs, but Lord, we're thankful for the job that we do have. God, we so often pray for a raise, but Lord, we're thankful for the money that we are able to raise. God, we so often pray for a better car or a better house or better this or better that, but God, we are so thankful for what we have. God, I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul who said that whether he's abased or whether he abounds, that he is thankful, that he praises you for it, Lord. And God, I pray that we would have the same kind of heart as the Apostle Paul, and whether we're up or whether we're down, whether we have a lot, whether we have just a little, Lord, we would be thankful for what we have, Lord. Thank you, God. We thank you so much for our family. We thank you for our church, God, that we can come together in a free country, Lord, and worship you and gather together and hear more about you. God, we thank you that we can partner together with other churches and help feed the homeless and feed those who are in need. God, we thank you for everything that this holiday on Thursday means to us, Lord. It's not just about eating turkey and pies and things like that. Lord, it's about thinking back about how good you are and being thankful for everything that we have. God, I pray that you would just touch our attitude, touch our heart, our minds, Lord, that we would be grateful for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, shifting from Thanksgiving to Christmas. Christmas is in 5 weeks. Did you realize that? Ooh, wake up call, right? 5 weeks. We're starting a new sub-series, a 5-week sub-series from Conversations with John. We're still going to be looking at the book of John, but we're going to be talking about why Christmas, asking that question. And I'm sure a lot of you ask that question when it starts getting this time of year. You're like, oh, seriously? Why Christmas? Again? Really? It has to happen again this year? Because it's been so commercialized. There's so much pressure on particularly a parent. And with the media of today, the kids want new and better things. And sometimes we can just get a bah humbug type of an attitude about the holiday, about the season that we're in. But obviously, if I was to ask you why Christmas, what would you say?
Jesus,
exactly. And so this is an open-ended question, and the answer is always Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season, right? That campaign started, I don't know, in the 80s or whatever, that slogan. And it's a good slogan, and it's true. But for the next 5 weeks, we want to talk about different aspects of Jesus and exactly why Jesus, why celebrate Jesus, why did we just all of a sudden pick December to do this? First and foremost, it's to celebrate his birth. Hate to break it to you, but probably, more than likely, Jesus was not born in December. I know. He was probably born in summer month at some point. But still, this is the time where the whole world, whether they want to take Christ out of Christmas or not, is open to the gospel. This is the only time of year where you can go into a department store and actually hear words over the radio that have something to do about Jesus. And people just hear it as, oh, it's holiday music, and they're not even putting two and two together, but the message is still getting out. basically, this series is answering this question. Why is it such a big deal that Jesus came to earth in human form? This is something we have to come to terms with, to come to grips with. And you might think, yeah, I get it. I understand it. I know all of the reasons why. Maybe you do, and that's good, but maybe you don't, and maybe we need to be reminded of this, because the whole reason that God came to earth in human skin and dwelled among us and died on the cross for us and rose again for us and is coming once again to take a spotless bride has everything to do with our everyday faith. Every decision that we make every day has to do with what God did by sending his son. And so it's important that we look at this during this season, and not just this season, but every day, that we realize that God is Jesus. So week one, we're going to talk about Jesus is God. Funny story. Like I said, I've been kind of sick this week, and I was praying last night, and Miranda, my wife, asked if I was ready for this message today, and I said, yeah, kind of. And she's like, well, what do you mean? And I said, I don't know. This is just one of those messages that I don't have a whole lot of excitement for. And she said, really? Well, what are you going to be talking about? Jesus is God. I mean, it just seemed like I felt so stupid to say I was not excited about this. And the reason is because there's a part of you that we think we've already got this. We've already understood this. We've got this concept. And so what's next? This seems very elementary to us, but it's something that is very needed. I have a video clip.
Is this the voice of God?
One voice, many faces. Does this better suit your expectations?
What's it to?
It is I. The journey you undertook to reach me could not have been an easy one.
It was not. The barrier stood between us, but we breached it.
Magnificent. You are the first to find me.
We sought only your infinite wisdom.
And how did you breach the barrier?
With a starship.
This starship.
Yes.
Then I shall make use of this starship.
It will be your chariot.
Excuse me.
It will carry my power to every corner of creation.
Excuse me, I'd just like to ask a question. What does God need with a starship?
Bring the ship closer.
I said, what does God need with a starship?
Jim. What are you doing?
I'm asking a question.
Who is this creature?
Who am I? Don't you know? Aren't you God?
He has his doubts.
You doubt me?
I seek proof.
Jim, you don't ask the Almighty for his ID.
Then here is the proof, you see.
Why is God angry?
Why? Why have you done this to my friend?
He doubts me.
You've not answered his question. What does God need with the starship?
Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14, please. Even Trekkies are on the search for God. Those of you who are Star Wars fans, Tony, sorry I showed Star Trek. John chapter 14. I'm going to tie the video clip back in just a minute. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Paul last week taught from verses 1 through 4. I want to read those again. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. We most of the time hear this read during a memorial service. In fact, just spoke at a memorial service yesterday morning and used this exact text. What's important for us to understand is Jesus is the very night that he is about to be betrayed and about to be brutally murdered and hung on a cross, is speaking these incredible words of comfort to his disciples, when really they should be speaking words of comfort to him. Jesus, it's okay. God has you in his hand, and he's going to watch over you. He instead gives these words of comfort to his disciples. And I can think of no other words in Scripture that provide more comfort than these. And that is that what we need to tie together is that God is Jesus. And so when he says, trust in God, trust also in me, it's one and the same. And that we can truly trust in God. Just as in this video clip from Star Trek V, the whole concept was they heard God. Actually, Spock's brother, not to get too complicated here, heard that God was in the solar system. God, he felt like he could finally find God and know who he was and be able to see him face to face. And this voice that he heard basically was asking for a starship, was asking for something. And so Spock's brother, again, you don't really care about all this, but he takes this the Captain Kirk's ship, and anyway, that's why they end up there. And the reality is it wasn't God, because God has no needs. God does not need a starship to bring forth his glory. God does not need you or me to bring forth his glory, though he chooses that we do. He chose his son, Jesus, to come to earth to show that it is God. There's something in every single person's heart, whether you're saved or whether you're not saved, that you long to see God. You long to know God. No matter how much you've walked with him, doubt comes in, maybe on a daily basis, and we cry out, God, I want to see you. God, are you really there? God, I thought I've served you all my life, and God, I thought you've shown up before, but now all of a sudden you're not here. God, where are you? God, where are you? And one of the reasons why it's important, why Christmas, why did Jesus come to earth, is to show God to us. And now, because of written scripture, and we have his gospels, we have the life and breath of Jesus' work, we can see who God is. And when we wonder who he is and where he is and what does he look like and why is he acting the way that he is or not acting the way that we want him to, we can look back at Jesus and see exactly who God is without any mystery at all. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas, who we lovingly call Doubting Thomas, said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? I think just as we ask, God, where are you? God, who are you? God, what do you look like? God, what do you look like in this situation that I'm in? I think we also continue to lose our way. We continue to ask, where do I go from here? How do I find you, God? You say you are Christ. You say you are a loving God, but where are you? How do I find you? And just as Thomas said, we sometimes say, we don't know the way. You say we know the way. You said you told us, but okay, we forgot. Show us again. Tell us again. We're distracted. Verse 6, Jesus answered, I am. And this echoes back to Exodus 3:14. If you remember when Moses comes face to face with a burning bush and hears the audible words of God, and God tells him to go to Pharaoh and demand that his children be set free. Moses' response is, if he asks me who sent me, who do I tell him? Again, the question of the ages, the question that we ask maybe on a daily basis in different ways. What he's asking is, I know you're God, but who are you? This time, Moses asked for a name, but really what he was saying is, who are you, God? Who am I supposed to tell him? A burning bush told me? Who are you? And God said, tell him, I am sent to you. I am that I am. And so Jesus, God incarnate, says, I am. And I really believe that he paused there. I believe he paused there and made it very clear to all of the hearers that were listening to this that he is God. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. I don't believe that this was Jesus rebuking Thomas. I don't believe he was saying, if you really knew me, you would know the Father also. I think he was promising it. I think he was saying, if you really knew me, you would know the Father. Then he goes on to say, from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Have you guys encountered Jesus Christ in your life? What I want to say to you this morning, again, it's something that's very elementary, but it's something that we often forget and we need to hear it over and over and over again. If you have encountered Jesus Christ, then you know God. There's no more searching. There's no more wondering if some other religion has it. Some self-help book has the answer that you're looking for. There's no more wondering if you got into a different relationship with a different woman or a different man, or if you had a different job, or if you made different money or drove a different car, if somehow, some way, you would understand the meaning of life. You would understand God's heart somehow better. If you know Jesus, you know God. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Now, it may not completely cure all of our curiosity. We would love to be able to see him face to face the way that I see Dana, and I can talk to him and he can respond back. I can see his lips moving. God is still the invisible God. But he sent himself, his own son, to this earth. And we have it in Scripture. We know who he is. We know his thoughts. We know his patterns. We know his heart. We know what he looks like. We know God because we know Jesus. Verse 8, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus just got done saying, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father," and Philip still doesn't get it. Just as maybe we still don't get it. Show us the Father, and that's enough. Just show me. Show me. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" One of the things that we have to establish in Scripture is that Jesus is God. This is one of the things that is the most assaulted of anything in doctrine. There's faith groups out there that say Jesus was a great man, Jesus was a prophet, maybe even Jesus came from God, but Jesus is certainly not God. Jesus is not deity. And so it's important that we understand that our Scripture says that he is, in fact God, that he is deity. He's not just a good man, a good teacher. In fact, according to our Scriptures, this Jesus said that he was God. So he can't be either not God and a good man, because he would be a heretic and a liar and a lunatic. You can't have it both ways. He's either exactly who he said he was, or he was in fact a very bad man. So let's look at some scriptures. First of all, the most important doctrine in all of Scripture is the deity of Jesus Christ. The Bible attests to the fact that he is not only with God, from God, and of God, but also that he is, in fact, God. To that fact, our faith allows no exception. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe this. The Mormons do not believe this. Christian Science does not believe this. The list goes on. They call themselves Christians, many of these groups. Obviously, Buddhists and all of the other Eastern religions don't believe this, but even those who call themselves Christian will say, "We believe in God, but Jesus was a great prophet." So it's important that we understand that. Let's look at 1 John's body of work. The Apostle John writes the very first verse in the book that we've been going through. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh," that's Jesus Christ, "and made his dwelling among us." That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why the world awaits this time of the season to give gifts and everything else. It's turned into something other than what it is, but we celebrate it because this is what Jesus did for us. God sent his only son. God sent himself to the world. "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 18, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Guys, it's a real simple message this morning. And it's so simple, I don't want you to lose it. We all want to see God. Jesus shows us God. Plain and simple. I don't want it to be lost on you. John chapter 8, verses 57 through 58. "You are not yet 50 years old." They are speaking to Jesus. The Jews said to him, "And you have seen Abraham?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered. "Before Abraham was born, I am." Here again, echoing back to Exodus. The words only God says, I am. John 10:30, I and the Father are one. There's no other clearer scripture in the Bible than this. As far as God and Jesus are one, I and the Father are one. Revelation 22:13, John also wrote, and this is when Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is God. Colossians 1:15 through 20, just have a couple more verses, guys. Paul the Apostle wrote, He is the image of the invisible God. Guys, I really want us to find comfort in this. Because I don't care how much schooling you've received. I don't care if you have a doctorate in theology. I don't care what it is. There's something in the human heart that still longs to see God. Longs to understand God. And guess what? You're not going to see Him with your eyes, and you're never going to completely understand Him. And so the longing will never completely go away. But peace comes when we realize that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That everything we want to know about God, we can understand by studying the life of Jesus Christ. Why are we taking a year plus to go through the book of John? Because we're studying the life of Christ. Because we want to know God. We want God to make an impact and radically change our lives, our marriages, our families, the workplace. And the only way of doing that is to study the man, Jesus Christ. Verse 16, for by him all things were created. Jesus is God, and he created you. He created me. He created all things. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's kind of important, is basically what the scripture says. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. That's us-ins. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. All of the fullness of God, he was pleased to have that dwell in Jesus. That means when Jesus came to this earth and walked among us, the fullness of God dwelled in him. The Godhead dwelled in Jesus Christ. Why Christmas? Because God came from heaven to earth. We don't have to grope in the dark any longer. We don't have to grab a starship and go after God in the solar system somewhere. God came to us. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. During this holiday season, we're going to be singing songs like Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. It comes from two scriptures, first in Isaiah, and then later it's quoted in Matthew 1:22 through 23. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We're not going to go into all of this week. We have 5 weeks to talk about it, but it's important that it was a virgin. It's important that he took on flesh. It's important that he came in the time that he did. All of these things are important to not only our faith, but our redemption. God had to come to us, or there would be no heaven for us. There's nothing that you've done or could do. There's nothing I have done or that I could do that could attain God, could even find God, could even hear a whisper from God if God did not come to us. That's why Christmas. Wayne Grudem, in his systematic theology book, lays out three reasons that it's necessary that Jesus be fully God in order to accomplish our redemption. In later weeks, we're going to talk about why it was important that he was fully man, because he was 100% man and he was 100% God, something we can't understand. When you take 100%, that's it, 100%. And so, in essence, we're talking about 200%. It hurts our brains, but we're going to try to talk about it anyway. The first, this was in order to accomplish our redemption. He had to be God. He had to be God. Only someone who is infinite God could bear full penalty for all the sins of all of those who would believe in him. Every sin that you've ever committed, every sin that you will commit, and every sin that you will never get around to committing because other people are committing them, including myself, he took upon him. Mind-blowing. Only God could do that. A man could not do that. The best men we have, John Wayne could not do that. No one could do that but God. Salvation is from the Lord, says that in the book of Jonah. And the whole message of Scripture is designed to show that no human being, no creature could ever save man. Only God himself could. If Jesus is not God, then a man saved you and me. If he's just a good man, if he's just a good prophet, if he was just from God, but not of God or God himself, then somebody like ourselves was good enough to save us of our sins. No way. No way. Jesus has to be God. No matter what the Jehovah's Witness say, no matter what the Mormons say, no matter what any group says, only someone who is truly and fully God could be the one mediator between God and man, both to bring us back to God and also to reveal God most fully to us. The only way that Jesus could show us who God is if in fact he is God. I'm not good enough to show you who God is. I wish I could. I wish I could just even for a moment be able to give a glimpse of who God is. And you could argue, yes, Jesus lives within us. We're his children. We have his authority. I agree. Yes, we do. But it's still just scratching the surface of who God is. Only Jesus being God could show us who God is. Again, the greatest hole in the human heart, knowing, wanting to know who God is. Only Jesus could do that because Jesus was God coming to earth to us. So basically, if Jesus is not fully God, we have no salvation and ultimately no Christianity. Do you see why this is such an important doctrine? Now you might be saying, this is great head knowledge, Sean. Thanks. Woo, this is great. I took notes and I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but okay, now I know it. What we do with it is we apply it. The way we apply it is we realize this is how we know God. Jesus. I want to know God's will for my life. Look at Jesus. I want to know why God chose not to do this when I asked him to. Look at Jesus. I want to know why Jesus does this or God does this or God doesn't do that. Look at Jesus' life. He reveals God to us. God is revealed in and by Jesus. Let's look back at our text. John chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" We see God through the life that he lived. The demons that he cast out, the healings that he did, the conversations that he had with people, the wisdom that he gave, the love and the compassion that he shed, the blood and the tears and the water and everything that he shed on the cross all points to who God is. Verse 10, "The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work." The words that he spoke are the very words from God. If you have scripture where Jesus' words are in red, or whether you do or not, that is God speaking to you. That is God speaking to me. I want to know who God is. I want to know what God's plan is. Those are the exact words of God when Jesus speaks. It would behoove us to read them, to study them. Verse 11. "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." Even the very miracles that he performed points to God. Who God is, the very nature of God, Jesus shows to mankind. I want you to stand, please, and if the worship team could come forward. I told you it'd be a short message, and again, if you heard nothing at all, hear this. If you're searching for God, look no further than Jesus Christ. We have his wonderful words in our scripture. We see the incredible deeds that he did in scripture. We can have a relationship with God the Father because he came to us in the man, Jesus Christ. He is our ally. He sticks closer than a brother. All while being the God of the universe. He so loved the world that he sent his only Son to die on the cross for your sins and for my sins. Another way of looking at it is, he so loved the world that he sent himself to die for us, to take the punishment that we could not bear. I'd like to have the response team come forward and real simple, if you would like to meet Jesus, if you would like to meet Jesus, I want you to come up and pray with somebody. If you want to know who God is, you have to meet his Son, Jesus. We read, there's no way to the Father except through the Son, Jesus Christ. He made a way for us. If you want to know who God is, if you want to know who God is in your situation, meet Jesus. So if you want to meet Jesus, come forward. Or if you need prayer for anything, your life is wrecked, your marriage is wrecked, your body is wrecked, whatever it might be, and you just really need somebody to stand with you and pray. That's why we're the body of Christ. We ourselves are not God, but we are certainly a reflection of God, and we have God living within us, and because of that, his compassion pours out of us, and we want to pray with you. So I'm going to close this in prayer, and then if you need one-on-one prayer, please come forward. Father God, we thank you for sending your Son. We thank you that we don't have to go to vast universes or different solar systems. We don't have to look up different books and search into different religions, Lord, to find out who you are. That you made yourself very evident to us in the man Jesus Christ. And that is why we celebrate Christmas, that you came to earth to show us who you are. Thank you that you made a way, that you reconciled us to the Father. God, I pray for every single person under the sound of my voice, Lord. I don't know where they are with you. I don't know where they are with their husband, with their wife, with their kids. Lord, I don't know the pain that they feel, Lord, or even the jubilation and joy that they feel. But you do, God, and you love them. God, I pray that they would understand and sense the vastness of your love this morning. God, help us to respond to your word. In Jesus' name.
Turning.